I want us to just expound a little bit on these events, on 10 events that make up the royal framework of the gospel. We said the gospel is a royal message. It's about, you know, the crowning of Jesus, Jesus as the saving king. If we were going to give some kind of expounded summary of what the gospel is, that includes the Trinity or the Trinitarian structure, it would be a statement like this. Some kind of expansive summary on what the gospel is. Like if you're asking me, so what is the gospel? You know, what is the gospel? Would say, the gospel is the true story of how Jesus the Son was sent by God the Father to become the saving King who now rules forever at His right hand through the sending of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling God's promises in the Scripture. That statement is trying to incorporate all the events, all the movements that make up the gospel proper. But if you wanted a shorter one, you said the gospel is the message of the saving King Jesus. That message of the saving King Jesus involves Him being sent, involves Him saving through the work He does, and involves Him ascending to the right hand of God and sending the Holy Spirit, okay, that fulfills God's promises in the Scriptures. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15, and then I'll give you the 10 events of the gospel that we'll look at one by one over the next 1 or 2 weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Are we there? Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. Can you note that tense? Which you are being saved. Not that. Now, if your Bible has in which you are saved, change it to being saved. Okay, in which you are being saved. How? If you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. So it's possible for people to have believed in vain. How will people have pistured in vain is if they don't hold fast what was preached until the end. Because salvation is not just at the beginning. Salvation happens ultimately at the very end. And that should be clear to people. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received. Now look at that. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most of them were still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Now, when you get the different scriptures in the New Testament that speak about what the gospel is, both when the word gospel is directly there being mentioned, or if you look at what is happening, it is implied specifically in Acts. We saw those in Paul, right? Remember the verses we saw in Paul? These 10 events that we are going to talk about here, these 10 events contribute in this order to what the gospel proper is. The first event is, we can say the gospel is that Jesus the King was number one Jesus the King was number one. He pre-existed as God the Son. He pre-existed as God the Son. I'm not saying Son of God, as God the... The number two, he was sent by the Father. He was sent by the Father. Okay? He pre-existed as God the Son. Number two, he was sent by the Father. Number three, he took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David. Again, like I said, if you compound the different texts in the New Testament that speak about what the gospel is, one or more of these aspects about the gospel will be there. And we are going to look at each one of them individually. I said number three, he took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David. Number four, he died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. And then number five, he was buried. That is critical. He was what? Buried. Number six, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now guys, I expect you to memorize this one. You have to. Okay? Number six was what? He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Number seven, he appeared to many witnesses. He appeared to many witnesses. And then number eight, he's enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ. Now that one is very critical. Underline it or put a star on it in your notebook. It's often left out, by the way. People stop on resurrection. Have you ever noticed? But he is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ. Then number nine, he has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule. He has sent the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To speak in tongues. He has sent the Holy Spirit to effect his rule. And then the last one, very critical, he will come again as final judge to rule. He will come again as the final judge to rule. So many times when we're talking about the gospel of King Jesus, resurrection is mentioned as the climax, but resurrection is not the climax. Many times the enthronement is left out. So let's expound on these events of the gospel. Before we do that, the text where you can see the gospel spoken about, alongside the ones I've already covered, you know, looked at Jesus teaching the gospel in the gospels. We looked at Paul and the gospel, right? That's where I had Romans, 2 Timothy, Thessalonians, and so on and so forth. Acts. These texts in Acts include the gospel. Now, when you look at these texts, you'll find that those 10 elements, or is not all of them together, but some combination of them, exists whenever the disciples, the apostles, are talking about what the gospel is. So take these portions. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 36. Acts chapter 3, verse 11 to 26. Acts chapter 5, 27 to 32. Acts chapter 10, 34 to 43. Acts chapter 13, 16 to 47, and Acts chapter 17, 22 to 31. So you'll find proclamations about the gospel in those different texts. Acts chapter 10, 36. Let's read some. Let's read one or two of them. Let's read Acts chapter 10, 34. Acts chapter 10. We have lots of texts to read, so prepare your mind. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth. Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee and from the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Have you seen the elements of the gospel in there? Have you seen some of the 10 aspects about the gospel? So, all the portions of scripture I've given you, you can go there and identify which elements, which 10 events of the gospel are being highlighted. Unfortunately, there is no single proclamation which has all the 10 listed. Okay? Like, no particular portion of scripture has all the 10 listed. But when you collectively consider all the places where the gospel is preached or alluded to or spoken of, those 10 events exist. So let's look at the first one, that the king pre-existed as God the Son. The king pre-existed as God the Son. Now, when we speak of the pre-existence of the Messiah, we mean that he was in glory personally, as an individual, as a self, as an entity of himself, before he took on human flesh. And that's the starting part of this good news. Remember when we were talking about that Genao, and we said Jesus did not begin from the incarnation. I mean, the second person of the Trinity does not begin at the incarnation. He pre-existed as the Son, the eternal Son, like we called him, the eternal Son of God in eternity, at the beginning of creation, before coming in the flesh. So we have verses like Acts 3:15, Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Of course, one of those questions you're going to find, where did Jesus claim to be the Son of God in the Bible? It's one of those questions Muslim apologists ask. Acts 3:15. Men of Judea who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give you to my words, For these people are not drunk. This is Peter, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Sorry, I've read him too. Sorry. Acts 3:15. Let me start from 14. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Verse 15. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. So, what do you think when they call him the author of life? Peter is calling Jesus the author of. It means he's the creator. It means all life proceeded from him. Okay? So, also in Paul, his pre-existence is inferred. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 3. So some people are dull. They want Jesus to say, they say, because Jesus didn't stand anywhere and say, I am God. They say, so he's not God. Lol. I mean, LOL. Romans 1, 3. Concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh. How did we say we're supposed to interpret this? Romans 1, 3. Remember, when you're looking at that portion, we say this text actually means that he came into being as it pertains to the flesh. This one is not talking about genealogy. Remember that? The discussion is not on genealogy, but it's on existence. It's on incarnation. Okay, so, in other words, what happened? We said, what happened in the womb of Mary is the incarnation. That the eternal Son took on human flesh in the womb of Mary. So, the existence of the Son of God is also seen there in Romans. The sermon on the day of Pentecost is one of those important sermons also to pick out the aspects of the gospel. Here, Peter will equate him with what the psalmist was talking about. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 25 to 28. So we are dealing with the pre-existence as God the Son. Acts chapter 2. 25 up to 28. Is everybody there? For David says concerning him, concerning whom? I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and he was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was abandoned to Hades, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Acts chapter 2, verse 34. And 35. Have I read that? No. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So, David is alluding to him as God. He's alluding to him as that uncreated creator. At the beginning, his Lord. So definitely he pre-existed the incarnation. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, 33 to 37. Acts chapter 13. This has been fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second Psalm. You are my son, today have I begotten thee. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way. I'll give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he says also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. So this was not about David. This was about the pre-existence son. So again, we are not really looking for every verse that proves that Jesus is God. He pre-existed as God. Well, I've only isolated the gospel articulations that put that event of his pre-incarnation or existence, right, before his incarnation, that shows that he's God in the gospel proclamation. You get the difference? So that's why I'm doing Acts 13, Acts 2, and Romans 1. Praise the Lord. Number 2. We'll only do 3 today. Number 2. Event number 2 of the 10. Are you there? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you there? The king was sent by the Father. The king was sent by the Father. When Jesus was preaching the gospel, he himself kept saying how he was sent. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Luke 4, verse 43. Let me start from 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Jesus said, I was sent for this purpose. The sent nature of Jesus is also reinforced in the parables. The parables. You know the parables about the kingdom? Matthew 21, 31. Parable of the tenants. I think they're called the unjust stewards. Matthew 21. This is the parable of the tenants, right? Verse 33, but we'll start from 31. Which of the two did 33. Here another parable. There was a master who had a house, planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug winepress in it, built a tower, and leased it to tenants. Went into another country. When the season for the fruit drew near, he sent his servants. Remember that? He sent the servants. They killed the servant. He sent another servant. They killed him. Then he sent his son. Peradventure, they say, sure, this is my son. They will hear them. And then what did they do? They killed the son also. Verse 37. So, and this was describing what was happening. Speaking about, again, the sent nature of Jesus. He alluded to himself as actually being sent. John's Gospel too makes very many statements showing that Jesus was actually sent. John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Did you see the sent part? Whoever does what? Hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment because he has passed from death to life. Again, however, when you're reading John, John uses pistuo a lot. Right? John uses believing a lot. And of course, many times we preach the gospel from John. People preach the gospel, use a lot of John. And all the places you have believe. But I've told you, that pistuo is a derivative or from the same root as pistis. So pistis would be the noun, pistuo would be the verb. So again, when you're looking at pistuo in John, it should not be separated from the loyalty action. It's not just simply believing. And when we say simply believing, we're talking about some kind of mental acceptance of facts in your mind. Because that's what we thought the Bible is. I mean, salvation is you go to preach to a person, Jesus, you know, we were sinners, the Romans road, right? I didn't go through the Romans road. All of us have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We couldn't help ourselves. The wages of sin is death. But what God did he do? What did God do? Romans 5:8, because of his amazing love. While we are not sinners, Christ died for us. So what do? We accept Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse what? You confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, Jesus, and you are saved. Romans road. We are all sinners. The wages of sin is death. I missed that one. Romans 3:23. The gift of God is eternal life. Our works. Some you can't even add in there, our works are filthy rags. There's nothing we can do. But there's something God can do. Then when a person hears all those things, I think I like that. So they ask, do you believe Jesus died for your sins? I mean, yeah. Because some people are even thinking, I'm imagining, has anybody ever told you that they accepted the gospel just to get you off their back? They just say, okay, I believe. Then you confess. They say, you repeat this prayer. Then they repeat. Say, dear God, today. Like me and my son, we pray every night. He repeats the prayers with me. But do you think he knows what he's doing? No, he just knows before we sleep, we pray with Papa. You get? Yeah. So, it's not that. Look at John chapter 2. Are we there? I think it could be a cool, interesting thing. Somebody, you know, you can just do this as your pet project too. Let's go and look at all the believing scripture, all the gospel believing scriptures in John, and just have this pistis fresh look on them and see what you can do. You can make a message from that. You know, just try it. What do you think? I mean, there are many, right? Especially before chapter 10. Okay. Maybe not interesting enough. If you are looking for a project for your PhD, John 2:23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name. Can you see this? We need all to be reading. I need all of you to go there and see what I want to talk about. John 2:23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. Did you hear that? Let me look for that in another translation here. I mean, you'd think some of us, I mean, see all these people, they are believing in me now. No? Jesus said, I know their hearts. So, and he says, now when in Jerusalem Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. You say, man of God. See power. But Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. I think there's one that says he knew their heart. So had they believed on him as a son of God? No. So even in John, pistuo is not a matter of just believing, mere believing, mere to acceptance. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 36. Are you there with me? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Say amen. Whoever does not do what? What is the opposite of not believing? Here. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see. He didn't say whoever does not believe the Son. Now, of course, in John's time, even if he said whoever does not pursue the Son, the audience would have understood. But for our world, I think today we need much more to say. But whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But what happens? The wrath of God remains on him. Jesus was sent. He was sent. Other New Testament passages also speak about Jesus being sent in the gospel proclamations. Peter affirms that, Acts 3:26. Paul 2, the language is a bit different in Acts chapter 13, verse 23. Brought to Israel a Savior. Speaks about bringing to Israel a Savior. Let's read it and you see what I'm talking about. Acts 13:23. Of his man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. So in there, the sending is implied. But perhaps a more clear one, even if the word a gospel may not be mentioned, but that's what is implied. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. NIV. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful man, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man. So Jesus is sent. Amen. Let's read another one. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we may receive adoption as sons. This is not one of those verses you pick up when you want to bash the law. Because what Paul is doing here has absolutely nothing to do with whether the law is good or not good. What he has put in there is very thick. There's a lot of Exodus in the background. There's a lot of Genesis in the background there. Then that coupled with the fact that he's trying to convince his Gentile church that they need not be dragged into an attempt to become Jewish. 1 John 4:9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God. This verse used to be on our t-shirts. The next one, right? 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:16. Was it 4:16? What was, yeah. It was the theme of our first ministry. It was called One Loved. One Man Loved. One Loved. In this love of God, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That did what? That God sent his Son, his only Son, into the world
that we might live through him.
Wow. 10. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Of course, everywhere we read that God loved us, we came back and thought about Telemundo. What does love look like? God loves me. He's just there in heaven thinking about me. I mean, the Bible says, all the hairs of your head are numbered. So just imagine yourself sitting on Jesus, on God's lap, and he's counting your hair. Tracy, 1, 2. All of us, he knows the, of course, there's no bald person here. I was going to say, some people, we have no hair. I don't know what God is counting. So, but you know, we just thought about emotiveness, emotion. Jesus pre-existed with the Father as a Son, God the Son, and then he was sent by the Father. So we're looking at the 10 events that make up for the expounded gospel. The 10 different events. And we have looked at 2 today. He pre-existed. Now, it's also critical that every believer affirms these 10 events. They're all critical. You cannot say, I believe Jesus died for my sins, but I don't believe he pre-existed with the Father. We don't get to pick. All the 10 are critical. The one where you are seen. Okay, that one may not have anything to do with your eternal. You may say he was not seen, but I believe what he did. You may say when he resurrected, those guys didn't see him. But I believe he resurrected. I even don't know how. But just so we are saying, but all the 10 events are critical to believing in the gospel. Hallelujah.